Frelich and Hanukkah, everybody. This is Mordechai Plotzker, your host. And tonight's share has been dedicated as a refuah shlema to Rav Paul Reuven Meir ben Rachel Miriam. You should have a refuah shlema with Karav Mamash. So tonight I wanted to try to recap Parshas Vayeshev, which is a parsha so rich in the transition from Yaakov onto Yosef, the storyline with the brothers, and the fallout with Yosef being brought down to Mitzrayim, and Yehuda falling from grace from his brothers, Reuven as well, Yaakov being bereft, and the end of the parsha ends on what seems to be a low note as opposed to being a high note. So the first concept that I want to just try to touch upon is the pasuk that begins the parsha and says, Vayeshev Yaakov, Beretz Migurei Aviv, Beretz Canaan, asks the Kedushas Levi, why do we have to tell us Migurei Aviv? Why do we have to tell us that it was near the dwelling of his father? And unlike Rashi, who says that Yaakov Bikesh Leishev B'Shalva, Rigzol of Sidno Shal Yosef, that Yaakov, you know, wanted to, so to speak, take a break, take a breather. After all, he just had so many different engagements, none of which were positive, you know, in his view, because he had to deal with his brother Esau, then he had to deal with Lavan, then he had to deal with Dinah, and now he has to deal with Yosef. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, it's not enough that you should inherit the next world. You should, you know, you can't take it easy here in this world, you know, because this world is a world of work. Amelis Batorah, you have to continue pushing forward. Says the Kedusha Slavi something else. The Kedusha Slavi brings down that what Yaakov Avinu was really saying was, in the proximity in which I find myself near my father, I need to increase or to up-level my standard of Shemiras HaMitzvot, which means that when you're around a tzaddik like Yitzchak, Yaakov Avinu felt that, hey, I got to work harder. Be'eretz Migurei Aviv, Be'eretz Canaan. Yitzchak Avinu never left Canaan, and Yaakov Avinu was always struggling to constantly improve his Shemiras HaMitzvot. And the reason why is because he was so close to the proximity of his father. That's number one. Number two is that we see that Yosef was abandoned by his brothers. He was distanced from his father. He was bereft of his mother. And he found himself accused of all of these cardinal sins and crimes, none of which were substantiated. But he found himself in prison for 10 years plus another 2 years. And at some point, he must have felt incredible despair. But yet we find that Yosef never gave up, and the Tzemach Tzedek brings down that this is the message of Yosef HaTzadik. And this is the message of Hanukkah itself, is that when a person feels themselves down, we know that when a little bit of crack in the ceiling lets a lot of light in, that Yosef did not give up hope. And the Kedusha Sefer brings down that the first night of Hanukkah is a skula for those who look at the neros as they're being lit, that they should never feel alone, they should never be alone. They should always have company surrounding them and the simcha and the cheer of family. So that's the bracha. And then also this obviously transcends into when a person, and you think about Yosef, the Torah refers to him as Ish Matzliach, which in itself is somewhat difficult to understand because he went through such a difficult time. He had similarities to his father in that both were dreamers, both were hated by the brothers. But Yosef was the individual who never gave up hope, and that's the reason why he never let go of his dreams, always saw them, and that's the reason why he was referred to as an Ish Matzliach. I want to try to just touch upon something that's really symbolic of not only this parsha, but the next two parshios, Miketz and Vayigash, until we get to the pasuk where it says, Vayaras Hagalas Asher Shalach Yosef Batzchi Ruach Yaakov Aviyem, that whereupon Yosef saw the Agalos, and then his life was brought back to him, that Asher Shalach Yosef, that Yosef had sent out, and then he was brought back to life. So what exactly is happening over here? We have yet time until Vayigash to discuss this, but we do know that the Parsha of Egla Rufa was the topic that was discussed between father and son, Yaakov and Yosef. And Vayeshechei Mayim Mechavron, he sends them out from the valleys of Chavron. We do know that in Chavron there are no valleys, there are only peaks, there are only highs. And so what exactly is the Torah referring to? This refers to something amuk, something deep that's buried within the valleys of Hebron, which is Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was the first person to escort his guests, and that's why when the three malachim came to visit Avram Avinu, and they said that one malach was going to destroy Sodom, one malach was giving a Pesura Tova about Sarai Aminu having a ben next year, and the other one to save Lot. When these three malachim had fulfilled their shlichas, Avram Avinu says, Vayashlichayim, Ashi says one word, Lulbosam. Which is why when we learn in about Avram Avinu, it says that he built an Eshel. Right? Eshel Avram was the Eshel referred to. So stands was an acronym for Achila, Shtia, Lina, and Leviah. that he opened up his home on four sides so that folks can eat, drink, sleep after a big meal, and then be escorted out Levia. So Yaakov Avinu had sent his son out from the valleys of Bayit Shechem and Emek Hebron, and he sent them towards Shechma. Shechma, we know, is Shechem, which is a Makom Peronios. It's where Dina was abducted. It's where Yosef lost his way. It's where the Shvatim were torn apart by Yeravim ben Nevat, the 10 and the 2 Shvatim in later generations. So Shechem is a Makom Peronios, say Chazal. But the big question that we have to ask is, when it says Hakir Na, is this really the blood of your son? So Yaakov Avinu believed, but he didn't believe. He believed that his son was Torov Torat Yosef, but he never gave up hope that Yosef was gone, because Yaakov himself was a fighter. As we know from last week's parsha, last week's discussion, Yaakov never gave up. And he even fought with Esau Shel Esav, not just until, like for a few minutes, but until Alos HaShachar, until it was daybreak, and the Malach had to go on his way. So Yaakov was a fighter, and he believed that his son was also very much alive. And it's amazing that there was a fascinating understory to this whole narrative, and that Yosef never communicated back to his father that he was alive. There were times and opportunities in next week's parsha, certainly as he rose in prominence, and in the following parsha, to communicate directly that his father was alive. He could have easily sent messengers back and revealed this to him, but there was a cherem. And Rabbeinu Bachya brings down exactly the nature of this cherem, which is really the topic of tonight's discussion. If we have a few more minutes, we'll talk about it. In order to create a cherem, you have to have 10 individuals, right? So Avraham Avinu, we know that creating a cherem was to have a mishtatef with HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't such a long decision, right? Because Avraham Avinu said, maybe there are 50 tzaddikim in the city. Then he went all the way down to 10. And he argued that if there were 9, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be the 10th in order to be mitzdaref the minion so that we can save Sodom and Gomorrah. But that was for Hatzalas Nefashos. But why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mishtatef in this particular cherem? And how do we know this to be true? So this again is Rabbeinu Bachya in the Parsha, where he brings down that Reuven had gone back, right? And Binyamin was home with his father, and Yosef was in the pit, at least 9 brothers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzdaref. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu being mitzdaref over here? It's for Peronios, because here Yosef is going to be sold and transported down to Mitzrayim through the Pasim, right? This is Rashi Tevas for Pelishtim, Sochrim, Yishmaelim, and Mochrim. So this is something that's not good, and yet we find that it did happen this way. So the answer is because Tzadik goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mekayim. When Tzadik says something, it has the power to change worlds. And that's what we learned from Yaakov Avinu, that HaKol Kol Yaakov Vayadayim Yidei Esav. Forget about the Yadayim Yidei Esav. Once HaKol Kol Yaakov, once Yaakov puts out his voice, whatever that is, there's going to be some cataclysmic effect of this. And it's not just simply going to fall on deaf ears. This will come to fruition, because everything that Yaakov Avinu touched turned to gold, as the pasuk that was given over to him, V'yitin lecha Elokim mital shamayim. So it's not just what he touched, it's what he saw, it's what he believed, it's what he said. And everything rose in his honor, like including the Nile River, which Paro later thought was in his honor, but it wasn't. And we know that if Yaakov were to say something negative, it could have altered the future of Klal Yisrael. Where do we find that Yaakov said something less than positive? When it came to Rachel Imenu, he said, whoever takes the teraphim, right, should find an untimely end. And even though Rachel took them from her father, he surely would have wound back time if he could and never said those words. But the fear was is that if Yaakov suspected something, and if he were to find out that the brothers were telling him something that he could dispute openly, and he would say something, it would change the future of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was mishtatev with this particular cherem. So who knew about this cherem? Everyone knew. Yitzchak Avinu knew, and Rashi brings down that Yaakov was with his father Yitzchak for 22 years. It's the last Rashi in Vayishlach. And you see, he did keep it out of him. And I know that if my gut tells me that if Mashiach were to come right now, the first thing that Yitzchak Avinu would do would be to run over to Yaakov and say, I wanted so much to tell you, my dear son, but I had to go to the grave and not tell you this incredible secret that indeed Yosef was alive the whole time. Because there was a cherem, I found out about it. How painful it must have been for Yitzchak Avinu not to share this information with Yaakov, who was bereft and not able to receive any nevuah during his time of mourning until he was able to be reunited with his son Yosef in 2 parashiyos, which took the span of roughly 20 years. And so we know that Binyamin became aware of this because Pasuk says that his stone was, it refers to the stone as Yishafeh. I don't know what the translation of Yishafeh refers to, but it must be something translucent or transparent that he was able to know that his brother was indeed alive. And of course, Yosef was aware because he was in the pit. He overheard the cherem take effect, and he was not able to communicate this back to his father. And it's interesting also that we'll touch upon this next week, that in Mikkei's we learn that Binyamin had 10 children, and the Das HaKanan brings down that each one of the names of the 10 children that Binyamin had, he named it after his brother Yosef. Achi, that my brother. Erd, that he went down. Mupim Chupim, that he missed my chuppah, he missed my wedding. And many other names which are found in the Das HaKanan that Binyamin called to his children, each reminded him of his brother Yosef, and he never lost sight of the fact that one day there will come a time when they will be reunited, which is a beautiful thing about a brotherly love. And we conclude with a portion of the Kedushas Levi on Hanukkah itself, and that is that we know that Yaakov Avinu went back for the Pachim Ketanim, for these small vessels, these small flasks of oil, which were later used to anoint King David, and in the future they were stored away, which the Hashmonaim had found, the Maccabim had found, and Maccabi, as we know, is Rosh Tevus of Michamocha Ba'ilam Hashem, that is what Maccabi stands for. These Pachim Ketanim is what Yaakov went back, and that's when the Sar Shel Esav fought with him, and that's when we learned something new about Yaakov, that he was determined to succeed no matter or despite the odds that may have been waged against him. And we know also that when we light the Neros every single night of the Chanukiyot throughout Hanukkah, we light 36 candles plus an additional 8 for the Shamashim. That brings us to 44. We also know that whatever we do in this world has a correlation to the world above, and that the Malachim also light candles when we light candles. When we sing Shira, they sing Shira. When we say Kadosh, 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 they say the same. When we say Kol Nidre, they say Kol Nidre. There's a one-to-one effect. And the power that we have to create malachim through the dibur that we say, through the tehillim that we say, through the davening and the learning that we do, creates these amazing malachim that stand in our defense. And they speak of the great things that we've done and we've accomplished. So therefore, it's incumbent upon us to create these wonderful malachim so they will always stand in our defense when we need them. And so Pach is the gematria 88, Peches. Right? And we know that 44 plus 44 is 88. We also know, as we just said, that there's a correlation between our actions and that which is done in the celestial world. And that's the pasuk that David HaMelech said, Nafshenu chaksa la'Hashem, that our souls desire to come closer, draw closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rosh Tevos is equal to 88. Nafshenu is Nun, the Ches, and la'Hashem is the Lamed, that equals 88. We also know that when we say the bracha that we said tonight with the Shechiyanu, thank God, that we brought ourselves to this particular time and space, that we're here to celebrate Hanukkah, that Lahadlik Ner Hanukkah is also Rosh Tevos, the first letters is equal to 88. Lahadlik is Lamed, the Nun is the 50, and the Ches Hanukkah is the 8, and that brings us to 88. So 88 is also the number 8, is Lamala Min HaTeva. We know that there are 8 days of Hanukkah. We also know that 8 is, you know, the 7 days a week, or as the Beatles used to say, 8 days a week. Right, so we know that 8 days is 8 is Lamala Min HaTeva, and how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, "Vayhi bayom hashmini," that on the 8th day of the Miluim, that's when the sacrifices became in full effect, and that day was a beautiful, auspicious day and time. So I wish everyone that this is a Zaman of miracles. We should be cognizant of the fact that we've invested 3 months into our calendar Jewish year since Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's now 3 months. And we are able to see the Peros come forth. And we've done a lot of great things and great work. And we should be able to look at the Neros and to look at the light and see the light in ourselves. Because every Jew has tremendous power. That we have light, that there's a light, there's a Ner B'tocho, every single individual. And our challenge in life is to draw that light out of ourselves and ignite the world with our kindness, with our mitzvos, with our masim tovim, to spread the light, to spread the cheer, and to enjoy Hanukkah to the fullest. Mordechai Plotzker wishing you the very best of Freilich and Hanukkah, Zisen Hanukkah, Lichtig and Hanukkah, and we should be able to celebrate many more Yom Tovim and Shavuos and Shabbosim, and together we should be misaneach with each other. All the very best, and have a successful week.